You're listening to Modern Infrastructure, the official podcast of TechTarget's Modern Infrastructure e-zine. To read the latest issue, visit searchdatacenter.com/modern-infrastructure.
To the February edition of the Modern Infrastructure podcast. I'm Christine Signoli. I'm the managing editor of Modern Infrastructure. And we're here with Alex Barrett.
Hello, Christine. Hello, everyone.
Alex is the editor-in-chief of Modern Infrastructure. So we just wrapped up our February issue, which is always a good feeling to wrap it up and see everything we've been working on for the past month. Our cover story is going to be about SaaS this month. And Alex explored sort of every in and out of SaaS this month to talk a little bit about software as a service, SaaS, and what sort of what the deal is these days. So What did you find, Alex?
Well, I didn't explore every in and out. I felt like it, but really I think I just hit sort of the tip of the iceberg. The overarching feeling that I have coming away from that story and having a little bit of hindsight is that, you know, SaaS is a real blessing and a real curse, depending on your perspective. So on the one hand, it's really what users want. It's easy maintenance. There's no OPEX, no CAPEX costs, less infrastructure, et cetera, et cetera, et cetera. You know, mobility, access. The flip side is that, you know, from an IT perspective, it's a real sea change in terms of how you go about your day. And so on the one hand, while you may be freed up to do higher level tasks, at the same time, you know, you have no visibility when things go wrong. It's really hard to get, you know, Google or Salesforce to take you seriously. You are stuck in these situations where, you know, you can't gracefully leave a SaaS provider, or maybe you think you can, but it might be easy to overstep that or overestimate that ability. So it's tricky. And then after writing this article, you know, I learned about all kinds of other aspects of SaaS challenges. So one of the ones that came up recently was I talked to this company called SoftChoice, which recently did a survey of SaaS users compared to traditional software users, and they found that SaaS users on average engage in much riskier behavior. Here's a conversation I had with Mike Kane from SoftChoice.
Yeah, really interesting study we found. So we went to 1,000 full-time information workers in North America, and we asked these respondents about their behavior around, you know, software as a service, their security, how they access these files, if they do file transfer and stuff like that. And we found that it's the SaaS users, and I would say, just to point out, I don't think it's egregious behavior, right? It's nothing malicious. But they're been conditioned to certain ways of working with these technologies. And because of that, we're seeing they're not following the same behavior as somebody who is always working in traditional IT.
Mm-hmm. So what are they doing that's different?
Well, it's an idea that they just want the application now. So in our personal lives, right, if we need an app, you just download it and you're away and off and running. And the same kind of behavior is kind of spilling into the professional workplace. And in some cases, there's reasons why we can't do that, right? And so we're seeing that. It's kind of get the application now. It's kind of on demand. And then when it comes down to passwords and security around that, because they have so many SaaS applications, it's hard to manage all that. And so we see a lot of this kind of password on a post-it scenarios where mm-hmm. We see, you know, we go into customer sites and you see numerous post-its all around the monitor with all the different passwords for the different applications.
And you see a generational gap as well? So people.
Yeah, we found the survey is pretty generational. It's the younger folks in the workplace are not as aware of some of the IT security policies as folks that have been in that place for a while.
Mm-hmm. And/or they're more resigned to them. You know, there are no secrets, really.
Right. Yeah, that's a good point.
Either or. Mm-hmm. And do you find that younger folks tend to use SaaS applications more as well, or?
Totally. Yeah. I mean, I think that kind of goes to a generation on iOS and Android and pulling down these applications on demand. So yeah, we absolutely see that.
So another one of my favorite features every month in Modern Infrastructure is our Overheard department. So we have lots of editors and writers here at TechTarget in the Data Center and Virtualization Group, and people travel all the time to these interesting conferences. So our February issue looks at the Gartner Data Center Conference, and we got some great quotes, and this is from Ronnie Colville, who's a Gartner VP. She said, "Everyone tells you you should be more like Facebook and Google and the other cloud-ish vendors, but they got to start with a clean slate." And I love that, you know, that's a great perspective on cloud and what we're hearing about cloud these days. And Alex, you were at the show.
I was at the show, and that was very much the sentiment of the Gartner show. This very cautious and risk-averse approach to enterprise IT. And it was funny in my mind. The Gartner show was at the Venetian in Las Vegas, and I had been at the AWS reInvent conference a month prior in the exact same location, but that's really where the similarities ended. So whereas Gartner was very, like I said, risk averse and belts and suspenders and what could, you know, here are all the things that could go wrong. You know, 1 month prior, that venue had been overtaken by the AWS Kool-Aid drinkers, and everyone was sort of walking around like, this is the future of the world, and we're going to, what could possibly go wrong? And it was just a very different feel and scene, albeit in the same kind of gaudy Las Vegas venue. So,
going to read just one more of my favorite quotes from Gartner, which was from John Enck, who's a managing VP at Gartner. "Moving to cloud sounds good, but there's just one small thing. To get there, you need to rewrite your entire application portfolio. Give me a call on Monday and let me know how that goes." Which is
touche.
Yeah, another really great point. And this month our column from Bob Plankers, he writes our In the Mix column every month, but he talks about the people problems of cloud, which is a really interesting viewpoint from an IT guy, an architect like Bob, and he's saying that there's sort of the five stages of grief in getting to accept the cloud in your organization and sort of realizing you're not going to lose your job. You know, that's his point, is sort of, you aren't going to lose your job, just go with it. You know, don't be a stonewall in the process of adoption. It's going to happen, and figure out what your next plan is.
And that was a theme that came up when I was researching my SaaS story, which is that by adopting more and more SaaS applications, they've had to buy less infrastructure, and they've had to hire fewer people. But no one said, oh, we went out and we fired a bunch of people because now we don't have enough work for them. It was all about repurposing the people that they had, or if there was attrition. So the IT staff was staying constant while the amount of services and the capabilities they had were increasing. So that was a positive take, and they were doing more interesting stuff. So, fear not. Mm-hmm. The cloud necessarily. So.
Right. Yeah, one of the people you talked to, I think, was sort of working on VDI and being able to explore other areas, right, that he wasn't hung up on.
Distance learning initiatives. Yeah, stuff that could really materially transform the how they make money.
Mm-hmm. Totally. And it also sounded like IT, in some cases, they're still in the driver's seat. They're maybe learning about new, handling contracts and things like that, and working with providers, and being able to shop around as well if they're not happy with a provider. That's part of their function now.
More so, taking more of a cloud broker, not in the technical sense, but in the sort of purchasing manager sense approach. Mm-hmm. So evaluating services and lining them up with what the business needs.
So we're already working on our March issue. We're right in the middle of planning all that content and editing that content. And next month we'll be looking closely at disaster recovery in the cloud. So that's your big thing for next month.
Yes.
Yep.
So disaster recovery has been around for since the beginning of time. But doing it in the cloud is a target. That's a new twist, a new wrinkle in the story. So. Stay tuned.
Yes.
It's really interesting stuff.
Yeah. We're also looking, we've got a big story about big data, so we'll be kind of looking at what big data means for IT. And this, I feel like this is a buzzword I hear now and then, and I'm glad we're exploring it kind of in a little bit more depth.
Yeah, the idea there is that, big data, people talk about it for marketers, for business analysts, but this is about applying big data principles and analytics to IT. So, what can you learn by sifting through your log data? What can you discover that maybe you didn't know about previously?
Cool. And then co-location, we've got a good story about sort of the details of co-location, which I think is going to be really, it's a very useful piece on what to look for and what to, you're a little bit on your own sometimes in these cases, you know, and you really need to know which metrics to look at and what
how not to overspend.
Yeah, exactly. How not to overspend. Yeah, exactly. So a little bit of buyer beware stuff, but it's very useful. So, and we're also really excited. We have a new columnist for next month. It's Mike Matchett from the Tanasia Group. And the Tanasia Group has been around for a long time doing storage and, you know, analysis in sort of the storage area. And they're looking a lot at the next big thing. What is the next big thing? You know, big data, NoSQL servers, converged infrastructure. They're looking at sort of all those big, potentially disruptive technologies. So we're really excited to welcome Mike. He's, I think, going to be a great next big thing for the e-zine. So definitely stay tuned for his first column in March. Join us next month for our podcast as well. Thanks for listening.
You've been listening to Modern Infrastructure. To read the latest issue, visit searchdatacenter.com/modern infrastructure.